get your. Oh, why? Why are there? Oh. The wires were all like wire.
It's been so long since we've done this. I don't even know
how to wear this.
I don't know how to work the equipment anymore.
That's what she said. Listen, that was good timing. You got to admit.
Oh gosh. All right.
You all right there?
We have it. So, but anyway, talking about
compliance training.
Compliance training. Yeah. So we were talking about. So they had these like IDs, mm-hmm. and the guy that's on the ID, I looked at for the sample identification or whatever.
Yeah.
We got the guy's face they used in they had a bunch of people, but they had this one guy that keeps reoccurring. And I saw him, and one day I just told everyone, I was like, look at this guy. I said, this guy would make the best spy on the planet. And they were looking at it, and they didn't really understand it first. And I was like, no. I said, look at him. I said, you don't know what that guy is. He was, like, olive or brown-skinned, bald, features that were very almost, like,
a mix between Middle Eastern.
It was like
Eastern.
A Pakistani, Indian kind of features.
Uh-huh.
And then... But he could have been Hispanic. I don't know.
That's awesome.
So like I said, this guy is the best CIA operative ever. Because if he was anywhere in the world, he would blend in and no one would really.
Pretty much. Like, everybody be like, all right.
Like, he could have been in South America. He could have been in India. He could have been he could have been Russian, for God's sakes.
The amount of sun exposure that he decides to get depends on where he's at.
So that's what makes a perfect spy to me. Someone that just. And that's what a lot of CIA agents were people that just weren't remarkable at all.
Yeah, you have to just kind of, I think it's funny. So, welcome to Hello Tangent. We started with a tangent. We're about to break it down with some spy media, if you couldn't tell by that little story.
Do you want me to do the official hello?
Yeah, go for it.
Welcome to Hello Tangent, the podcast where we talk about movies, TV, comics, video games. Yeah, that thing. And desperately try to stay on topic. And we haven't actually sat in here in a while. It's
been a hot minute.
We've been using the backlog of episodes for a while. So we're,
You know what your welcome just now reminded me of?
What's that?
The toboggan ride at Disney.
I don't remember.
The mountain.
Yeah, I know.
Not Space Mountain.
I know which one you're talking about. The Matterhorn?
Yeah. The guy, when he speaks, is very much like, welcome, the way that you did it.
Well.
And then they go off in the different languages, and it's all that same candor. Sorry. I'm going to Disney.
At least I know I have another job.
Maybe.
Maybe. I could do that.
If they need to update it, I guess.
Welcome. They need a 2020.
Welcome.
Anyway, but we are doing spies today, so please continue on whatever you were going to say that you've probably forgotten.
Could you tell by the look?
Yeah. My eyes got real wide there. It's like,
oh, shit. So it's interesting in media how many of the characters that are the spy or are spies tend to be these remarkable features like, I don't know, James Bond, Daniel Craig's James Bond.
Like being the most beautiful people on the planet.
Yeah, pretty much, like, stop everyone in your tracks, but just gonna go with the Daniel Craig, James Bond thing, like, the clearest, blue, brightest eyes that you've ever seen on a human being. Granted, I've seen many a blue eye, and, like, not super common features, I guess. I'm not saying that he's, I don't know. But most spies that you see tend to be very attractive, which, not saying you can't be an attractive spy, but it does seem counterproductive to be in the center of attention. Everybody's like, what are you doing there, spy man?
In a job where you don't want to be noticed or recognized, you probably shouldn't be the person who everyone looks at in a room.
Yeah, don't be the standout person that walks in, Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
Cavill,
or even like
Cavill.
I don't think we ever decided. Okay. Cavill. I always said Cavill.
You say Cavill, I say Cavill. I think yours is the right way,
maybe.
But
we'll call him and ask him, you know.
We should. You know, he would, with as big of a freaking nerd as he is, I bet he would enjoy our podcasts.
Yeah. Just two people talking.
That's right. Having a good conversation.
Which we got, I told you, we got some feedback here recently that people said they just enjoyed the conversationalist podcast instead of actually being super organized.
I mean, you don't, I'm not saying you don't have to pay attention, because I know that sounds really bad, but I know personally when I'm watching or listening to things, I like not having to, like, have a notebook to navigate what you're telling me, if that makes sense. Sometimes I enjoy the, like, research-heavy sort of thing where it's like, A and B equals C. But most of the time it's like, my brain is already mush. Let me just vegetate with people who are vibing.
Yeah.
Like my 2020 lingo.
Yeah, I guess that's 2020. I don't know. I'm old.
Me too.
I don't keep up with it anymore.
That's okay. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about spies.
Spies. Da-da-da-da.
I was listening to, speaking of spies, the Billie Eilish No Time to Die theme song. Pretty excited for that movie.
Oh, yeah. At first, I wasn't thinking about what you're talking about. And then I was like, oh, yeah, she did the James Bond theme. I forgot.
Yep, good job.
We'll talk about some James Bond themes in a second.
We sure will.
Yeah.
Because it's probably still the Chris Cornell.
It's probably the, I was going to say, Chris Cornell's is really good.
May he rest in peace.
But I also didn't mind, who did Goldeneye? Was that Tina Turner or Whitney Houston? Who, it's not one of them.
I don't know. Let's consult with the Google box.
It was one of them. I don't remember who. anyway, so James Bond's probably the best place to start to talk about spies, because it's kind of a
good starter. Everybody knows of,
yeah,
if they haven't watched.
The original, I guess.
Or read.
It probably is what I would say the, like, original make spies popular kind of thing, because it was obviously written by Ian Fleming, who was a spy, and it was kind of written in his spare time in his retirement, I guess.
Sir Ian Fleming? Is he a sir?
Is he a sir? I don't know if he was a sir or not.
I don't remember. I'll have to look that up, too.
But he served with Sir Christopher Lee.
I do remember that.
And Christopher Lee also...
Tina Turner.
I knew it was one. I thought it was Tina Turner. I just couldn't remember. And yeah, Christopher Lee actually served, or not only served with Ian Fleming in World War II, but then also starred in The Man with the Golden Gun as Scaramanga.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, so Christopher Lee got to actually play a Bond villain in a movie based on a book written by his former
colleague.
So that's one of those weird small world things. He also was the one that gave advice to Peter Jackson on what sound a man made when he got stabbed in the back.
That is still one of my favorite things. Just the concept of this very well-spoken older fella being like, no, that's not
yeah,
right.
This
it,
is
sounds
what it sounds
more like this.
That's great. So, like I said, we're not going to go into all the history of this. We're just going to talk about some of our favorite spy movies and, I guess... You know, of course, Hall Media, not just James Bond, but all of our spy movies and games and comics even. And, yeah, TV shows some. I've got a few of those, too. But we'll start with James Bond. So, right away, what was your first experience with James Bond?
I don't remember the very first Bond movie that I watched. And I don't know that I'm pretty sure that I've seen the ones before Daniel Craig. I know, I'm a terrible, terrible fan. But my favorite are Daniel Craig ones, and those are the ones that I can actually remember.
Fair enough. Casino Royale is probably my second favorite, honestly.
Casino Royale is so good.
I was really blown away by how much I liked that movie.
Which is the one that had Halle Berry in it? She was in one of them, right?
That is Diamonds. Oh, God, what is it called?
Die
Another Day, yeah. It's about the guy using diamonds to... change their appearance and all that stuff.
Yeah, that was, I think, the first one that I, like, actually chose to watch.
That's the worst of the Pierce Brosnan ones.
Probably. The thing is, I don't remember anything about it.
And Madonna did the theme for that one and starred in the movie.
But that's awesome. My grandfather was part of... He did sound editing and film editing, so he was part of the people that received... movies and graded them and basically was like, this is what I think, this is what we should nominate, this is what I think you should do. Like, he did all that kind of stuff. But so they had a bajillion movies, and that was one of the ones, and I was like, oh, James Bond, I'm an edgy kid. I'm not like the other kids. And so I got it and I watched it and I was like, this is fucking boring. I'm going to go back to watching whatever I was watching at the time, probably cartoons or something. But what about yourself?
So my dad would always put it on. I remember like always being around Thanksgiving, like in November sometime, there would always be like a James Bond marathon. Mm-hmm. And my dad would always put that on. So I remember watching, like kind of paying attention while I was playing with toys and stuff, like some of the older James Bond movies. But I didn't actually understand and appreciate James Bond until I went and saw GoldenEye in the theaters.
Right.
And that was probably the best one to see to get me interested in those movies, because GoldenEye is still not only my favorite, what I think is the best Bond movie still to this day.
Yeah.
It is my favorite, and it happened to be the first one, and I saw it in theaters, and it was amazing. Yeah. And then I went back and watched some of the others. I still like the Pierce Brosnan one's kind of the best.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, yeah, generally. I still even like The World Is Not Enough. It's the first three are okay. Die Another Day was pretty garbage.
Isn't it one of the longest, like, film...
Oh, like most entries in a film series. And yeah, it's got, and I think it's got going. All kinds of records. Yeah, because the first ones were in like the late 60s.
Yeah.
Maybe even early
60s. It's kind of just like a rolling repetition of all the different books, just different takes on it.
Yeah, and technically, because like, I just remembered there is a Casino Royale that actually came out before any of the serious movies came out, and it's a parody. It's actually like a funny movie. My dad did show me that one when I was younger, and I was like, what, this is a James Bond movie? This is weird as crap. But it's the original Casino Royale is a goofy, goofy movie.
Right.
And so I remember watching that. I don't remember much about it, but it was black and white, and I think it came out in the like early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Dr. No came out in like 1964, and that's the first like serious Bond movie. If I'm getting this wrong, whatever, chew me out on Twitter.
Yeah, right? Yeah, on Twitter or Instagram.
Any of the social medias that we'll announce later.
Exactly.
But yeah, so I went back. I still, some of the Roger Moore ones I like. The Sean Connery ones are pretty good. They're pretty decent across the board. The Timothy Dalton ones, they're hit or miss. And then there's the one George Lazenby movie, which is meh. It's just meh.
Yeah.
Not that great. But I would say my favorite James Bond movies have to be GoldenEye, then Casino Royale, and then Live and Let Die. And then probably, honestly, I still like Goldfinger.
Yeah.
I think Goldfinger's a pretty good one.
That's such a weird name.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a porno?
Dude, the names are already there.
I know, basically. I wonder if when he was writing those characters and all that different stuff, and he was like, nobody's going to think
about pussy galore. That's not... Yeah. Doesn't...
He's like, it's everybody so polite
mm-hmm.
these days. Nobody will say anything. And then us in 2020 are like, Goldfinger, what? Yeah.
Well, the Austin Powers movies, the jokes pretty much wrote themselves.
Pretty much. That's another spy.
That is a spy franchise, technically, because those three movies are actually very entertaining. They had a marathon on last weekend.
Did they?
And I think I've watched most of all three of them.
I think I've only seen like one and only bits of one.
I don't remember a whole lot of the second one. That's the one I've seen the least of since.
Zelda is pretty upset that you didn't like the second one.
Yeah, she apparently.
Much of it or remember it. Now she's licking me.
Weirdo. So, Austin Powers, though, I generally like those movies. Goldmember is still hilarious. I watched most of it when it was on the other day.
I think that's the one that I saw bits of.
That one's really funny. They're all funny, honestly.
I remember
when the first one came out, though. I was in like 7th grade.
Yeah.
And I didn't really care for that humor at the time. Like, I didn't really get it.
I feel like that's probably why I've just never had any interest to go back and watch them.
They are dated. A lot of the jokes and stuff are kind of dated now.
Yeah.
Especially, like, the cameos and stuff, because it was people that were popular at the time, like Britney Spears and, like, Ozzy Osbourne. I mean, they're obviously still popular, but you know what I meant. Like, they were, like, it was, they had the
peak.
When the Osbournes TV show was on.
Yeah.
That's why I had Ozzy's whole family. And then Britney, that was when she was pretty much at the top of her game.
Yeah.
So that's, that's dated now.
Oh, yeah.
Forgive my cough. It's been kind of stuck there for a second and I was holding it back this whole time.
Tickling your throat?
Yeah, more of like, I don't know, just dry.
You're like almost your diaphragm's down here. What is this?
I mean, it's kind of where your voice box is. I'm trying to think now. Your Adam's apple, but isn't that your hyoid bone?
Bitch, I don't know.
That's where your larynx is.
Larynx?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Your voice box.
If you were a spy, you would know because you just like
pop. Because that's what I would be poking, yeah.
Just give a good old Mads Mikkelsen as Hannibal jab to the throat. Speaking of Mads Mikkelsen, I don't remember Polar. Did you ever watch that on Netflix?
I did not.
I'm pretty sure that was technically a spy movie.
There's a lot of things when I was kind of doing a little research to jog my memory of things in this genre that are like kind of
like a toe in the genre, yeah. Especially with media, like movies and not movies, like television and anime and video games, because you have moments where it's like, you need to go do this thing. And you're like, that is not in my wheelhouse of skills. And they're like, gotta do it anyway.
Yeah. See, there's what I was realizing when I was trying to write down things was like, I was seeing a lot of like special operatives,
uh-huh,
or spy or assassin,
mm-hmm, and saboteur.
Like, yeah, those jobs all kind of blend together at times.
I guess they kind of, in theory, are the same sort of thing, because spy is sort of like an umbrella term for a person that gathers intel,
yeah,
and
disrupts communications too.
Yeah,
so a saboteur,
so sabotage.
So I mean, yeah, there's all kinds of like you
and
can't just
relays
say
relays information.
Yeah.
So
I guess we won't get too picky with defining spy because it's not just going to be, oh, person in tuxedo at party gaining intel on crime boss or something, or even spy as in like real Cold War stuff.
Was going to actually ask if you knew very much about George Washington's spy network.
I haven't watched the show Turn, but yes, I do know a decent amount. Knowlton's Rangers, and I think that's what Turn is kind of based on a lot is. And is it not what it's based on?
I don't remember.
Knowlton's Rangers was the actual name of the spy ring that followed Washington's army around.
They might not have referred to it specifically as that, but I only watched a few episodes because I think it was coming out on mm-hmm. a...
Oh, don't worry. You're not making any more noise than she is.
Right? I know. Hey, calm down.
Hush up, Gilda.
Oh, calm down.
Oh. She couldn't be a spy. She's too damn loud.
Yeah, she's what all the spies are right now. She's too pretty.
Yeah, too pretty and
everyone's
too loud.
Everyone's like, look at that cute dog. And she's like, I'm right here.
I attract attention. I'm the opposite.
She'd be the distraction.
Yeah, that's true. You could just let her loose and you could run around the outskirts of a party and send her to the
middle.
Yeah,
literally the entire group of anybody would be like, look at the cute dog. Oh, okay. I'll put my hand in your mouth. That's fine. But yeah, that was... I was going to refer to Turn.
She's grumpy.
We'll have a brief intermission while I get beaten up by your dog.
Dog intermission. And we're back.
The dog has calmed down. She got some cheese.
She got some cheese.
She's licking her toes.
So what were we talking about?
Spies.
We had a long tangent in the break. I know this is going to look like a completely seamless edit.
It was like 10 minutes.
But we were talking for a while about totally different stuff.
All kinds of, it kind of had spy related stuff, kind of but spy. Mostly we were talking about the flu.
So James Bond, is there anything else we wanted to say on that? I said my favorite movies, I think, was really the last thing we were talking about.
Yeah.
James Bond, good place to start if you're into some now post Cold War espionage. That's another funny thing about James Bond is it was very Cold War influenced because like Russia was always the bad guy or it was some head of an evil corporation. But you know what I mean? There's a lot of like actual Cold War stuff, like all the way up through GoldenEye, which is in 1991, I think, when that came out.
And isn't that when the Cold War ended? Was 91?
It ended in 91. Oh, I take that back. GoldenEye came out in like 94, 93 or 94.
I know that even now, I mean, we're not talking about the climate of the world right now, but even now, China and Russia tend to always be the enemy.
Yeah, the go-to bad guy.
In American media. I don't know about any other media.
Unless historical, then it's the Germans.
Yeah, or I was going to say Russians, which we just said. Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
Which, fair. But it seems very pointedly like always America versus Russia, which leads me to the man from U.N.C.L.E.
Ah, nice. Nice transition.
I had to think of the name of it. I was like, wait, I know it. It's one of my favorites. Yes. Where America and Russia team up.
Yes. Yeesh. And the British, right? Isn't Alicia Vikander's
That's
character actually...
a spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
Yes.
How old was that movie? 4 years old now? Three, four?
Probably.
Years?
I don't know.
Yeah, no.
It's
no excuses.
One movie that I absolutely adore rewatching.
And it was a TV show.
Yep. Back in...
like the 60s or 70s?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. See, I never watched it, but...
I never watched the TV show, but I watched the heck out of the movie.
Yeah, the movie was good.
Sure wish that there were more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was... No, totally. That was a very good movie, actually. Funny. A lot of humor.
It's good action. Well-paced.
So, and has a spoiler, has a turn, surprise, twist there yep. at the end.
The three of them are basically married, too. Like,
yeah.
I like their dynamic. It's enjoyable.
It is a very fun movie. Fun time.
Yep. Good yeah. music, too.
I don't remember the music a whole lot.
There's just a lot of good music. There's one, you remember when Ilya and Solo are split up because they're going to go save Gabby. And they're, like, driving through that, like, mountainside. One yeah. of them's on the motorcycle. The other one's in the dune buggy. You know the, like, spaghetti western-sounding music that plays?
I don't remember it, but I can pretty much fill it in with my...
So that in that same song, because I binge-watched The Boys, I think it's only, like, 10, 12 episodes, I liked it. No surprise there. A lot of people hated it, apparently, and I think that it's because of how the first episode went. There's some assault.
Yeah.
Because that's how you make female characters strong, I guess.
Also,
that's me being sarcastic.
Also, maybe, I don't know, there's probably some political influence there, too. Making America's symbol a bad... Well, spoilers! Spoilers for The Boys,
no,
too.
That's from July last year, so it's almost a year old.
Spoilers on
no.
that. But, you know, make your superheroes are really corrupt and bad guys. And it's
yeah, I
no
mean, corporate-driven, like, what's it called? Social media. And they explained, because it's interesting, it's The Deep and Starlight have a thing,
mm-hmm.
and it's sexual assault. I can't even say kind of, because there was dick in mouth. That's the extent of it, but it is still assault, and it's still a really big, terrible thing. And it definitely is like a political, hey, this is how Hollywood is, especially toward women
mm-hmm.
and people that can be perceived as feminine. And I didn't particularly care for it, because I don't like when you have to give a plot device for why a woman would be strong.
Fair
you
enough.
Know, you can have a male character that is just, I'm big, bad, and strong, and I have, you know, control of my emotions and all that stuff. Get assaulted in Subway, but it's not a sexual assault. And it's all a lot of the time in media, it is females being sexually assaulted that makes them hard toward people and stronger. And it's like, you don't have to have bad things happen to be a strong person, which that's my one critique of the thing, especially because it was like a last minute decision that they were like, hey, actors, you're going to do this thing. And the actors are like,
eesh.
Ooh, I don't like that. And they're like, well, too bad. That's what Hollywood does, baby.
Also, we got to mention, I don't know why we're mentioning, because it's not a spy thing, but we went off on The Boys there for a second.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was going to be like, well, that's a comic also. It was a graphic novel. But then I was like, oh, wait, we're not even talking about that. We're talking about spies.
Yeah.
So I don't need to mention that.
I don't know. Well, we could go into some comic spies. This is extra tangenty, but it's applicable.
Jumping around a lot. That's mostly what I have, is just a list of properties that
I mean,
I like.
That's fine.
I'll talk about some comics. I'll talk about some obviously Spy versus Spy or Mad Magazine. Mm. Probably the most popular one that first comes to my mind.
I've never heard of
it. You've never heard of Spy vs. Spy? So I want to say what their names are, Joke and Dagger. And there's a white suit spy.
Is it supposed to be Cloak and Dagger?
Yeah.
Joke?
Yeah, well, it was Mad Magazine, spinoff, it's created Spy vs. Spy. So Mad Magazine is obviously a parody of all things pop culture and things
makes
like
sense.
That.
Makes sense.
You remember old Mad Magazine?
No.
Damn.
Maybe?
All right. Anyway, but the whole premise of it is, yeah, you can look up and see what they look like because they're these really caricatures of, like, spies. They have the wide brim hats.
Mm-hmm.
They're wearing, like, one wears
like
a black suit.
Fedoras.
Yeah, one wears a black suit, one wears a white suit, and they're whole dynamic is they're going behind each other's back to sabotage the other.
Makes sense.
And
nothing gets done.
Nothing gets done.
Busy fucking sabotaging each other.
Pretty much.
That's beautiful.
And that's the whole premise of it. They're setting elaborate booby traps and like bombs and stuff up for each other to try to kill the other one.
So it's kind of like Team Fortress with the spies.
Kind of.
Nice.
Except you got a whole team to blend in and fool there. And I actually put that one in my list too, as the spy from Team Fortress.
Yeah.
We'll go back to that, but yeah, Spy vs. Spy is fun. They actually made an NES game of it, and I used to play this when I was younger with my my childhood best friend, and pretty much you're in this house or like apartment building thing and going floor to floor and room to room, and you're finding different gadgets or weapons and stuff, and you're basically setting traps. Like you can set like a tripwire door trap to blow up a bomb in a
that's fun.
Bomb in
when you pull the door
a
open.
Drawer, you know, things like, or like in a desk drawer.
Yeah.
Because you can find weapons. You can find the knife. You can find the baton.
Sure.
So you can actually straight up run up and try to murk them like right
I
there.
Mean, why not?
Or
I've
you
got
can,
a knife.
Or you can, like I said, set booby wire, like booby wire, booby trap, booby wire.
Just hang bras.
Hang bras everywhere. It's booby wire.
Distraction. Why is there great. A random bra hanging from the ceiling?
So yeah, you set like trip wires and booby traps. Anyway, it's a fun game.
I'm going to need to make that into merchandise, and it'll just be like a wire.
Booby wires.
I love that.
That's great. That makes me happy.
Booby wires.
Other comics. There's you know, a ton of actual spy comics from years of yore. And
true.
There's a bunch that are like legit, you know, Spy Hunters
that,
and things like that.
The Kingsman original was mm-hmm. a spy one. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, I don't.
It wasn't Kingsman initially. I don't think that was just the organization. Also, Dick Grayson from DC, from Batman, mm-hmm. did play a spy in a spy company called Spiral with a Y.
Whoa. Clever.
So clever. And he had a theme song.
Oh my gosh.
It was pretty dumb. It was basically... I think it was basically "We're all spies, dun dun dun," and he was singing it while working with his partner, who was also trying to kill. I don't remember the whole of it. It was gratuitous amounts of fan service that I was not mad about, but it was the Grayson comic run. He was a spy.
I would make fun of you, but my favorite also has a lot of fan service, and that is obviously Marvel's Domino.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, Domino's fucking hot. So like,
Domino's awesome.
Who can be mad?
I got the new. X-Force, by the way.
I saw that. Are there X-Men that are spies?
Other than Domino? Yeah. Technically, you could say Mystique.
Yeah,
the spy
she
for the Brotherhood of Mutants.
She does all kinds of spying and sabotage and fuckery.
Yep. Morph for the X-Men. Any of the shapeshifters, technically.
Pretty much.
Double as spies and saboteurs. Those would be the first ones, I think. But as far as like one that was actually like a dedicated spy that doesn't necessarily... Well, I guess she does use her power. But Domino is, you know, she's an actual legit mercenary assassin spy.
Yeah. She's kind of the jack of all trade.
Yeah.
Master of all.
Master of all of it. And when you have a power that's pretty much your dumb luck, that's nice.
It would be nice. I mean, that kind of is like my real life.
I've just stumbled into everything I have.
Much. Oh, that's funny.
Anyway, yeah, so other things. Let's see. Maybe Kingsman. We've talked a lot about Kingsman, obviously, but we can't not at least mention it here.
Yeah.
Great spy stuff.
It is fun.
I still haven't seen all of the second one.
What?
It's on Hulu right now. I almost thought about putting it on earlier just to have on while I was like playing Modern Warfare. I've been playing a lot of Modern Warfare recently.
I haven't played any of the new Modern Warfare.
I played the campaign, played a little online, and then I took it off my Xbox. And now, like... I got pestered by all my friends at work.
To come play with them.
And now I'm addicted again. Like, I didn't want to put I didn't want to get invested in an online game. I just wanted to keep
moving. I remember you telling me, invested in fucking Final Fantasy IV. I've already played it for 2 months.
Four?
14.
I was about to say, I mean.
Whatever.
I mean, four is a really good game. Don't
numbers
get me wrong.
Are numbers to me, that's all.
You need to play four, though. Four is
apparently
good.
Apparently, I do.
Well, I can't wait to do a Final Fantasy episode.
We do need to do a Final Fantasy. I need to actually play some Final Fantasy other than 14.
Yeah.
But I don't see that happening anytime. I've got 7. I literally got to the junkyard and I started playing 14 at the request of a friend because they were like, hey, there's a 2-week trial thing. Come join. And I was like, all right, whatever. I'm going to pay for it. And I literally played for 3 days. And then I bought the whole complete thing. And I was like, why would I do this to myself?
Could you create a character or did you make it like a template?
No, you can create a character.
That'd be cool. I'd like to do that. I did it with 15, you know, online mode. Was it Kingsglaive or whatever?
Mm. If you decide to come play.
I don't need to invest more time.
Just saying, if you decide that you want to, I've got peeps. I play in Balmung.
We shall see. Forgive my yawn.
Nah.
This caffeine's having the backwards effect.
It's the good thing. I appreciate when that happens in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
After a certain time, caffeine is less of a stimulant and more of a, I like the flavor of this drink.
Yeah.
Time to go to sleep.
Yeah. This tea is really good, but I don't know how much caffeine's actually in it.
I don't know. The refreshers at Starbucks apparently have a lot of caffeine in them.
Something to investigate. Anyway, next I have Mission Impossible on here.
Yeah.
We'll be honest. I watched the first Mission Impossible movie, and I actually saw some of the old TV show when I was younger, growing up, like good old Nick at Night stuff and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the first Mission Impossible movie is the only one I've really watched, and I still like that movie. It holds up extremely well. It's a very good spy movie.
I agree. I think I have seen all of them. I've seen like half of the very last one because when I was watching it, streaming it, and the internet kept cutting out. And I'm an impatient human being sometimes, and
can't imagine.
I have zero patience for internet being choppy during videos and music, so it was pissing me off. And I was like, you know what, fuck this, I'll watch it some other time. And I just haven't watched it some other time. But
I wouldn't mind watching some. I know they've turned into more action heavy movies now, but
it's still fun.
I still respect Tom Cruise jumping out of a doing a halo jump 160 times just to get the shot.
Literally.
That's pretty crazy. Are you staring at the helicopter noise?
Loud ass helicopter.
Mission Impossible is good though. Moving on, Hitman.
Never played Hitman.
The games and the movies.
Watch. Got one movies of too. The movies.
I watched the first movie.
I don't remember which one I watched. I just know that I watched it because I remember Timothy Oliphant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And his not moving his teeth when he talks.
Nice impression. It's also I mentioned this in another episode, but the first time I ever saw Olga Kurylenko in who was in a James Bond movie also.
Yep. She was the oil dipped one, right? No. Never mind. I remember we had that conversation.
That was Gemma Arterton.
Nothing changes.
Whose name was Strawberry Fields, who was another,
I remember.
Another silly James Bond name.
Fucking James Bond, man.
But Hitman, I'll mention the games real quick while we're talking about it. And actually, I have one more movie series to really go over, and then we can do some games if you want, and we'll talk about Hitman more in depth on games.
I do have one movie to go input, but you can do the Hitman stuff first.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say Star Wars.
Okay, Rebel Spies.
Rogue One.
The Bothans. Did they ever say what the Bothans were? I forgot. Because I always thought it was a race of... Like, I always thought it was like a race at first. Like, the way they said it in episode 4, like, many Bothans died to give us this information. But then when...
It might have just been like a squad.
That's what I want to say name. Is it's like a... Because it was weird, because they say it like that in the movie. And then when you played the original Battlefront and Battlefront 2, not the newest ones, but the old ones that came out in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
When you played those, one of the classes you could play as was Bothan Spy. And it was some kind of weird alien race. And I was like, oh, maybe that's a Bothan. And then when Rogue One came out, they said something about them being Bothans as being like, that's a, like, whatever. I don't know if it was their class or the prison she was from or something. You know what I mean? It was something weird like that. And then I was like, oh, I have no clue if it's a race, not anymore.
They are a species.
I guess it would be species by definition of Star Wars universe and not race, like it's Warcraft or something.
Yeah, there are species, but I maybe, you know, the same way that we nickname our different squads, you know, different critter names and...
Oh, gotcha.
It might be
like the Wolf Team.
Spurs or the Mustangs.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense.
It might be that. I'm not entirely certain. That'd be a thing.
That'd be kind of cool to think about.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on from that. But yeah, Rogue One, actually, I still like that movie. Some people hated it. I like it.
I don't know how anyone can. That is my favorite Star Wars movie, and I like all Star Wars movies. But yeah, no, that is my favorite, I think, just because it's so different.
It is fun just because it's different. I don't know. I consider it apart from the Skywalker
saga. I like stuff that are away from that, though. I really like The Mandalorian. I thought that was really cool.
I like all the stories that surround Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, I am that rare breed of human being that even enjoyed the most recent trilogy. And I've, you know, read a bunch of the expanded universe or whatever the fuck they're called. Mm-hmm. Books that have absolutely nothing to do with the Skywalkers, and some of them have absolutely nothing to do with Jedi. I enjoy the universe. I think it's really cool.
I concur.
Fantastic. And it's
kind of fun to see stuff away from, like you said, the Jedi and the Sith.
Yeah, it's neat to, in the same way that with Mass Effect, you could play a video game, Andromeda, for instance, but you could play a portion of that game, or you could go through media and have no interaction with Shepard and their group of people, and it still be a really full and fulfilling story and or experience. Like, you could have an open world thing. BioWare. Are they still around? EA? I'm going to need you get in on this. But, like, you could make an MMO like they did with the Old Republic, or you could make an open world, like, the Fallout games or whatever, and it be full of different things because you've got so many species, you've got so many different people, and it doesn't even have to interact with the original trilogy or Andromeda.
I had this question I was rattling around my brain earlier. Who do you think is the spy for Mass Effect? Would you consider it to be Thane because he's an assassin? Or Liara, because she's the information broker.
Or Miranda, because she's an actual spy.
Yeah, because she's spying for, I mean. But I didn't think about her because she's there the whole time.
So I think Thane would be the person that I would consider the spy, because Liara is the information broker. Technically, she could go do the thing.
She's like a spy master.
She seems more like Overwatch or Tower or something
like
that.
She's not in the shit, as you would say.
Yeah, I mean, in theory she is, but, like, not physically.
Yeah.
And although she could be, she's more valuable outside of it, overseeing the whole picture, as opposed to being a tiny fragment of the puzzle.
Fair enough.
So, in a sense, Mass Effect is a spy game.
Somewhat.
Yeah. You do go undercover.
You are trying to uncover, you're trying to figure out what the Reapers are doing. You're trying to figure out what, you know, at one point you're trying to infiltrate Citadel. At one point you're trying to infiltrate
pretty much Cerberus. The whole time Shepard's just like, God damn it, I have to do this again.
Getting paid by one side to spy on the other the entire trilogy.
The amusement of being that person in the center, like, I could fuck you all over so bad right now and walk away with all the money.
But then who would fight the Reapers?
Who cares? You could afford to hop on a plane or spaceship and just go.
That'd be an interesting turn of events. End up in Andromeda with the others.
That's right.
I like that galaxy's fucked.
Bye, bitches. But isn't Andromeda 500 years after?
I think that's how long it took them.
I know that's how long it took them to get there. I don't think that it was a simultaneous thing, though.
Yeah, I don't know when they. I don't know if they ever mentioned when they shot them off.
I don't know either, but I feel like it was prior to the Reapers.
Probably they probably.
But
didn't
also,
know
it could be a response to the Reapers and them being like, "Oh, we might get fucked."
Yeah, we should probably move.
Yep.
To a galaxy where they don't have these things.
Yep. Surprise! There's some Anyway. Yeah.
There's bastards everywhere.
Bitches.
My last movie series I really wanted to bring up was the Jack Ryan movies.
You know, are they movies or is that television? There's television.
There's
now.
Television movies, and they're all based on books.
See, I knew that they were books. I've not watched it, even though the guy that is the Hulu movie TV thing.
Yeah.
Even though I like the actor a lot.
Is it John Krasinski?
Yeah. I couldn't remember his name. Jim from The Office. Yeah. What an interesting turn of events.
I vote. They're talking about making him the new Mr. Fantastic, which I'm totally for.
I like that.
I think he'd be good at it. But I wonder if they're going to make Emily Blunt as Sue Storm, since
they're married.
They're married in real life. They do work together very well.
They do. Also, Emily Blunt's just fucking badass. Yeah. I love her.
I would be down to see them as a couple play Mr. Yeah. Fantastic. And
I really want to see Jake Gyllenhaal like do more hero things, because I really enjoyed his Mysterio.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say he could be a good flame guy, whatever.
Human Torch.
Yeah, whatever. But also, I don't know that he would be a good... He would pull it off well.
I think he could do it. I actually think he could do it.
He would pull it off well.
Because he's got enough of the cocky kind of...
He's got the charisma.
Yeah.
You know who else would be good for that is Chris Pine.
Yeah, he'd be really good.
Perfect as the Human Torch or Hal Jordan.
Yeah, I would prefer... As a Marvel fan, I'd prefer Human Torch.
But I mean, he could do both, except he's in the Wonder Woman stuff now, so...
It doesn't stop fine. Anyone.
That's true. That's what's very his name? True.
Ryan Reynolds has been Hal Jordan, and now he's Deadpool. He's been in DC and Marvel.
Yeah, but Deadpool... Wonder Woman and Green Lantern are both DC.
Yeah.
But...
I'm saying he could do one of each.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Hell, Chris Evans has been Captain America and Human Torch.
He's been...
And Michael B. Jordan has been Human Torch and Killmonger.
He has been... Fucking Chris Evans is in literally every comic book thing, because was in...
Snowpiercer.
He was in The Losers.
The Losers were...
what's that one? Jack... No, what is it called? Something versus the World.
Oh, Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Yeah.
Jack Pilgrim
versus the World.
I'm not good with names. He's, in a way, a spy.
Yeah, he's infiltrated all of the properties. The,
comic properties.
Back to Jack Ryan movies, though. have you ever seen, like, Patriot Games or Clear and Present Danger or any of those?
I don't think so. Maybe. I mean, the names sound familiar, but it could just be like I've heard of that.
So there might be some before that I'm missing. I don't think so, but the first one I think of is Patriot Games, and that one is Harrison Ford as Jack Ryan. Mm-hmm. I remember the least of that one for some reason.
Yeah.
First off, Jack Ryan is not technically a spy. He's a CIA analyst. So he works for the CIA, but it involves a lot of Cold War stuff and things. It's a lot of spy stuff. So Jack Ryan's pretty cool. I don't know why they turned him into more of an action.
Because that's what's popular.
Yeah, they turned him more action here. But I love the earlier iterations of him, because he's not like a hands dirty fighter. Like he's not Jason Bourne, which is more spy stuff.
Right.
But he's, you know, he's an analyst that gets thrust into, like, I need to sometimes hold a gun.
Yeah, I mean, it happens on occasion.
The second one was Clear and Present Danger. That one's also Harrison Ford. Mm-hmm. That one I remember a lot of. That's actually a really good movie. And that involves, like, drug cartels in South America and things like that. Mm-hmm. Very good movie. It has Lou Diamond Phillips in it. Has Willem Dafoe in it.
Nice.
You should totally check that one out. It's a quality movie that still holds up.
I do have some love for Willem Dafoe.
Third one, and my favorite of all things Jack Ryan, Hunt for Red October. One of my favorite movies growing up as a kid.
I've seen that.
That's Alec Baldwin as Jack Ryan.
But I did not know that that was a Jack Ryan thing.
Yeah, Alec Baldwin is Jack Ryan.
You know, my dad was big into reading those books and probably still reads them. My dad's that person that'll read a novel, put it down, come back to it later after reading two other books, and reread the whole series in like 2 days.
Won't be any new ones, because Tom Clancy is dead now.
Yep. But he didn't know about that. That was a few years ago.
It was a couple years ago now.
And then another Clive Cussler.
Clive Cussler's still alive, isn't he?
I thought he just passed away a little while ago. Like
it may have been really recent.
I don't know. They're one of those. My dad reads that genre of writer.
They're both really smart too. Like, they both did their research.
They did. They had all kinds of like research teams, they had first, what is it, like in-person encounters with people mm-hmm. to kind of get a feel for how those sorts of people are.
I heard a story that was like the U.S. government had to go to Clive Cussler to learn, like, he knew so much about, like, their naval technology and stuff like that, that these younger generations of officers were having to use him as, like, a...
information.
Yeah, booklet. Like, yeah, basically as a, what do you call it, not a liaison, but like a, but yeah.
I could see it.
I'm trying to think. Not,
you know, it when starts you with an A, ambassador?
No, it's like when you contract someone out to...
A contractor?
No. God damn it.
A teacher?
Sure, we'll go with teacher. He's teaching them. But anyway, that's what they needed to go to him because he knew so much more about the older technology. Because
he did so much
Because he'd studied
research.
So much that they're like, hey, we found enemies are using this in like the Middle East and we need to know like
they're
what
like,
you know about
advancement
it.
Advancement in technology. We're so far advanced and the Middle East is like, well, we're still behind a little bit.
So he was like,
and they're like, oh.
Advisor. He was a technical advisor.
Well, I there almost said the same thing with ambassador.
With no.
I did say it started with an A.
I said it started with an A.
I did.
Okay, sure. There's a playback
you
on this.
You saw me.
There's a playback on it. Go to Twitter and vote who you think said
who
A.
Who said A first? Because I said it starts with an A. I was trying to remember the word ambassador.
All right.
And I made the motion, which they won't see, but I did it.
So pictures or it didn't happen. anyway, so.
She so, says yeah. that I said it first.
All right. Well, that's just girls sticking together.
That's right.
Where's Murr when you need him?
What?
So,
he's hiding.
Hunt for Red October, sleeping. My favorite of them. After that was Ben Affleck in The Sum of All Fears. I didn't watch all that one. I actually kind of wanted this. I liked the premise of it, but it wasn't very well done.
Yeah.
And then after that was, I thought there was one more Jack Ryan movie before they did the series. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. I'll remember it later after we've finished.
Probably. It'll be midnight and you'll bolt upright in bed and be like, it's this.
Yeah, I'll remember it later.
That's usually how it goes in a shower taking.
So that's all I've got for movies. You got anything else as far as spy movies that you like that you reminisce about?
I'm trying to think. I took down notes, but I also put the booby wire down, so I went to that screen and it just said booby wire. Oh, that's awesome. Nice. I'm trying to think, but I can't off the top of my head. I mean, I know that there are plenty of
There's a ton that we skipped.
Spy movies.
I'll hear about them later.
Yeah.
I'm sure
hey,
from coworkers.
If you have a spy movie that you like that we haven't mentioned, or game, or TV show, or media, books, anything like that, let us know.
Moving on to video games.
Video games.
First one, you've got to bring it up, is Metal Gear.
Yep.
Obviously one of my favorite video game series. I've played the absolute hell out of every one of them, except for Survival, because I'm not going to play Metal Gear Survive, because something without Kojima is dumb.
Fair.
So, but all the actual main series of Metal Gear games, obviously I've played all of them. Love them. Solid Snake, in all of his various forms, whether you're playing as... You know, I kind of thought about that when I was thinking about Metal Gear today, too, is, like, everyone thinks of, like, Solid Snake as, like, the face of... He's, like, the Luke Skywalker of Metal Gear.
Pretty much.
But you only...
If you haven't played the games or you don't really know about the games, all you know is Solid Snake, and you assume that he is the center focus of all...
And I guess as a timeline, he is the center focus. His birth is kind of year zero.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of funny because you only play as him in four games.
Yeah. He's the poster boy.
Yeah, so out of all the games, you play Metal Gear, you play Metal Gear 2, you play Metal Gear Solid, and Metal Gear Solid 4 are the only games you actually play as.
You know, that's a series, a YouTube series we should do.
What's that?
Play Metal Gear.
Just play
I've
Metal
never
Gear.
Played...
Any of them?
I've played snippets of, I think, 3, and...
3 is very good. 3 is David Hayter's favorite. I think I've mentioned that before.
I think you have.
Yep.
The other one that I've played a little bit of is Revengeance.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Just a little bit. And then I got distracted. Don't remember what happened, but...
Revengeance is interesting.
I remember, like, the first boss battle that you go up against was really fucking difficult.
It's a hard game. It's a very hard game. I love the soundtracks. Those thrashing
soundtracks are.
It's metal.
If you know nothing about those video games, at least like do yourself a favor and go listen to the soundtracks because they're all very.
It's a good. It's shred-tastic.
They tell their own story. That's one of my favorite things about movie and TV and video game soundtracks. Is like you can listen to them, and you can hear what is going on. Maybe there's some sort of thing about that for me.
I need to do a video game soundtrack top 10 here soon. I did my film score one last week or whenever the last episode.
I think it was last week.
Yeah, so that was fun. I don't know if you listened to that or not.
Not yet. Is it up?
Boo. Yeah, it's up.
Is that the one that you told me to post about?
I think so.
Cool. Because I'm pretty sure I did.
But you didn't listen to it.
Well, you know, sometimes. I was catching up with Life of the Party.
Ah, fair enough. Don't listen to me. It's fine.
Listen to you enough.
That's fair. Okay, that's a fair assessment. All right, moving on. I won't dwell too much on Metal Gear. If you never played, obviously you said you haven't really played much Metal Gear. Great games. Once again, this falls more into the special
it's like soldier spy.
Yeah, special operative. But literally, the tagline of the first Metal Gear Solid is tactical espionage action.
Yeah.
So it's kind of in the title. This is a spy game, and it has that James Bond.
T-E-A-T.
What?
Tactical Espionage Action. It's T.
I never would have made an acronym out of that, but okay.
Well,
fair enough.
We live on two different planets, Clark. Yeah.
I don't want in that brain. So, but yeah, no, I don't even know what I was going to say about Metal Gear. What was I going to say about Metal Gear?
I don't know. What was I saying about
you? Literally just like put the brakes on. You yanked the e-brake on my thought process
the
there.
The t-brake.
The t. Oh my god.
That's awesome. That's called tactical espionage if I've ever heard of it.
Definitely sabotaged my brain.
Inception is a movie that could potentially be considered spy.
I guess it could, yeah. It's also a heist movie.
It is also a heist movie.
That's blending more. We can't go into all heist movies being spy movies
as well.
No, we
would have to do our own heist movie thing.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll save Inception for a heist movie.
There are really good heist movies.
There's some pretty good ones out there.
Anyway, well, not
I mean, because the stakes are there. It's easy. Are they going to get it? Are they not going to get it? And you can blend assassins with heist movies, too. You got, like, Smoking Aces. That's a fun movie.
It is a fun movie. I was just thinking about how much I enjoy Snatch and would like to rewatch it.
All right. Yeah, Metal Gear, great games, amazing games. And that's what I was saying, was it's more of the soldier operative thing, but there is a lot of, you know, obviously, it's got the James Bond feel to it. Like, the third one especially even has, like, the music and everything is, like, it has a whole title track just like a James Bond movie with the whole intro. It's, yeah, definitely has the feel of a spy movie. Moving on, we're not going to talk about the GoldenEye video game since we talked about James Bond and GoldenEye, but we will talk about its successor, which is Perfect Dark.
Mm.
Have you ever played Perfect Dark? Mm-mm. Either one of them, Perfect Dark or Perfect Dark Zero?
Mm-mm.
So, fun fact about how they came up with that. Using the engine that GoldenEye is on, they wanted to make a better game like that was a first-person shooter.
Right.
Which they totally did, because Perfect Dark is superior than GoldenEye in every way. Fight me on that. But to do the character was kind of interesting because they wanted a female James Bond that wouldn't look like a James Bond ripoff. So they made Joanna Dark, and it's pretty spot on. She's got the British accent. She's got all the gadgets. She's got the one-liners and, like, the smart quips.
Those are very important as a spy.
Great character. Joanna Dark is one of my actual favorite, like, video game characters. For someone who wasn't in that many video games, it's kind of a lasting lasting legacy there. A lot of people love her as a character, and yeah, I think you can
she's earned it.
I think you can find Perfect Dark Zero on Game Pass right now.
I think so.
Should check it out. It's a good time to. There were some other James Bond games like Nightfire, and there's another one called like Agent Underfire, I think was the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Nightfire and Agent Underfire, and I can never remember which one's which because they both have fire in the name, but I think I played both of them. Nightfire, I remember playing, especially the multiplayer, and that was back in the PS2 days, so multiplayer was still kind of awkward.
Rough.
Yeah, but that was they were good games. They were good follow-ups to GoldenEye. Next up is Splinter Cell.
Never played Splinter Cell.
Another Tom Clancy product or franchise, you could say.
Didn't it start out as a game and then had a series of books?
So it's, I mean, it's always been Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what his involvement in the idea was. If it was something he's like, hey, I'm working on these books involving this character, or if it was like, hey, here's a character.
Didn't Tom Clancy do a lot of stuff with his son? Like, didn't they do a lot of tandem writing?
Maybe.
Because I think...
That sounds familiar. Either he finished some stuff for his dad, or... I can't remember if it's that, or if he if they did actually tandem write.
I think that there have been a few things that they wrote together.
Which reminds me of an idea I had I was going to tell you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You going to wait, or are you going to tell me now?
Do you want it on here?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. So I was going to say, let's co-write an entire story.
Uh-huh.
Just because I want to do this, because of the political environment we live in, I want to see that if it can be done and how well it can be done. Write an entire story with gender-neutral names and let people...
Figure out what their gender is.
Let people figure out
whether... And then find out at the end that they're non-binary.
Or do it so... Like, I guess so unobtrusively that someone can imagine, they can put their own gender to it, and then the story never changes.
I like that.
Based on it.
I like that.
I just want to see, it's almost a challenge too. See if you can write an entire story never directly
referencing gender.
A gender. That way anyone can enjoy the story and people can argue about, oh, that person's obviously like that's a cis male. Like,
did you ever watch, you watch Pacific Rim?
Yeah.
So one of my favorite things about the original Pacific Rim, sorry, I had to take a drink. The Russians were named Sasha and Alexei.
Alexei, yeah. And you never know who's who.
You don't, because those are both
yep.
neutral, but also one is the nickname. Sasha's apparently a nickname for Alexis. So technically it could That's be... Weird. To Alexis or Alexei, I can't remember what it is specifically, but apparently, I don't know, Russian nicknames are really interesting, like pet names are really interesting.
That one to me is funny, and I thought about it when actually I watched the first movie too, but I find that one funny that in the West maybe, or maybe just in English in general, I think we think of the name Sasha as being a female name.
Yeah.
But every Sasha I know that's like Russian or Ukrainian or anything like that has always been male.
I know, I've known one female Sasha. She's Hispanic, actually. Sasha Aguilar, I think was her name. And sweetest lady in the world. But we were in school and someone was like, Sasha, looking around for a dude. I'm like, what? As a kid, I was like, no, that's a girl name. That is specifically a female name. And now I'm like, shit, like Shannon's male name.
Yep.
Ashley.
Lindsay.
Kelsey. Kelly.
Kelly
like
you is,
can
yeah.
name, it doesn't really matter.
I remember that I didn't know Kelly Slater was a guy.
I remember that.
I told my friends that, and I was just like, yeah, there's like that pro surfing game, like, she must be popular or something. And they're like, what? Like, <"Ooh." laughs> like, Kelly Slater's a dude, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I remember.
I lost all of my, like,
your
like
cool
my
cred.
X Games cred with that one.
Like, I don't surf. There's nowhere to surf here, man. Russell used to have a bandmate named Kelly that was around y'all's band scenes, apparently. Apparently he was a dickbag, but when he first told me about him, I was like, oh, yeah, who is she? And he's like, nope, he. I'm like, oh. And it's interesting that just in general, like, people don't think of gender neutral. You're either male or female, like, mm-hmm. 900% of the time. And I am part of a, you know, big friend. Most of my friends are some sort of LGBTQIA plus whatever. And there are a lot of, like...
Did you have to write that out in the air?
I had to think about it. I say queer because being a queer human being, like, I feel like it's not actually an insult. Some people agree, some people disagree. Queer, I feel like, is all-encompassing as opposed to, I know a lot of people go LGBT, and it's like, that's a whole bunch of other people that you're not including.
Yeah.
So.
I just thought it was funny that you kind of, like, you air-wrote it.
Like. I had to think about it. I'm like, I think I got all of them, but it's interesting because gender neutral, like, that's a good idea. And it's interesting to wonder how people will take that because...
When you wrote, I think I got all of them for a second, I was like, is that the acronym?
Is it?
It almost works. There's no Q in there, but it got very close to working. I was like, wait a minute.
Good chat. We should do that.
Where was that tangent? Reel it back in. Oh, we were still talking about the book thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Oh, we were talking about names and all that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we went way off in there. So book tandem writing. Yeah. So Tom Clancy.
That's right. Yeah.
That's how we started it back. So Splinter Cell, I'll be honest. I never really played a lot of the Splinter Cell games. I had some friends that were really into them and I kind of got caught up in the war of like Metal Gear's better. So I was like, man, I don't really care for this because Metal Gear did it first and they're better.
I think I played a little bit of it, but it was the same thing as like the Siphon Filter.
Siphon Filter was fun.
I played the games, but I didn't play like any campaign. It was literally like the quick play things where you could run around and shoot each other.
The taser and
my
Siphon
fucking
Filter.
My favorite thing about Siphon Filter is Bag Lady.
Oh.
Give Bag Lady a big wet kiss. And I was just like, no, that's creepy.
I have the PlayStation Mini in there, and I still haven't even cracked it out yet. I've had it for like a year, but probably more than that. But whenever it came out, I've had it, and it's got Siphon Filter on it. And I've wanted to like play it just so I can like set people on fire with the taser.
I mean, why not?
So much fun.
Be fun to do that.
It also has Metal Gear Solid on it, the first one, so we'll have to crack it out.
At some point, we're going to have to start our YouTube channel.
As soon as I get my stupid... My capture card's still on that. I'm getting a whole new laptop just dedicated to this.
Write that off, technically, as a work expense?
I will.
I don't see why not.
I'm going to do that. Thank you. Moving on from Splinter Cell, so now I have the Hitman games on here listed. So Hitman, the two newest Hitman games are extremely fun. I played the original, I think, on the PS2 when it came out. I've heard really good things about Blood Money.
Mm-hmm.
But really my biggest experience with the Hitman games has been the most recent reboots, Hitman and Hitman 2.
Yeah.
And those games are phenomenal.
I've watched them played. I have not played them, but I've talked about it before. I love watching Funhouse play those games because their commentary adds to quite a lot.
They're so creative.
Alakini's Knife? Is that a game? Is that the name? Hold on, I'll look it up. That's another spy thing that I have watched, not played.
Gotcha. I saw some like 2D Flash game that was a spy game that looked really good the other day. I was watching something. And it's...
Before I mentioned it to you or after?
You just mentioned that game and I was like, I can't remember the name of that 2D game that I saw. But it was kind of one of those like almost puzzle-solving physics game, but it was... As a spy infiltrating like a house, it's really cool. I threw Assassin's Creed on here because
Assassin's Creed is
once again
spy-y.
It's got spy elements to it,
especially Black Sails,
Black Flag.
God damn it! I always do that because you're infiltrating the spy network or not assassin network, whatever.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah, I guess he is. He's not a real assassin.
Nope, he just stole the clothes that conveniently fit him.
I finished Rogue. Did you ever play Rogue?
Mm-mm.
So Rogue is like the opposite of Black Flag, kind of, because you're infiltrating. Or you're not really infiltrating.
The Navy.
You join the Templars. You're an assassin that joins the Templar.
Cool.
And you're hunting assassins.
That's cool.
It's a really good one.
I do enjoy that idea.
Yeah, you should do Rogue Remastered. It's really good.
I'll see if I can find it. We might actually have it.
But it's basically an assassin that finds out his chapter's like all corrupted and
oops.
It's kind of it's a prequel to
Desmond's
to Assassin's Creed 3.
Oh, okay.
So it's during the French and Indian War.
Nice.
Or the Seven Years War, I guess.
7 whole years.
Depends on where you're in the world, what you call it. So we call it the French and Indian War most of the time.
I feel like on the West Coast it was definitely the 7 Year War.
Probably. I don't know. Either one is historically correct.
Yeah.
7 Years War is probably what the British call it. And technically, there was no
it's
America
probably
yet.
Probably more PC.
I mean, now I would say it's probably, like I said, 7 Years War is probably what it would be referred to.
Yeah.
But like I said, I don't know what they called it at the time. I don't know if that was the English term for it or what the actual I would assume the English called it the French and Indian War then, because that was their two main enemies in the colonies, at least.
Yeah.
People forget they were still fighting France, like, out of the ocean and everything else. History, a little side tangent. Anyway.
One day we'll just do history with Clark. Maybe that'll be a podcast derivative. Yeah.
We'll, real history
no,
of
we'll
movies.
We'll do YouTube with that, because then yeah. we can have visuals.
That's true.
I feel like history is a lot more enjoyable when you can
picture it
and see it.
Just listening to someone talk about it. Unless you're like someone like me, it's hard to just listen to history.
I mean, I like it.
It's got to be entertaining, though.
I've always enjoyed history, but also I have to be in a mood to consume it. And the mood peaks 100% more if there's something to look at or to relate it to, gotcha. Basically.
Yeah, definitely. Dishonored. Did you play the Dishonored games?
I played a little bit of Dishonored.
It's obviously a revenge tale game, mm-hmm. but it's got a lot of stealth to it.
It does.
So I kind of
threw
it in there.
Yeah, the first 30 minutes you spend creeping around a fucking courtyard.
You can do the whole game stealth. That's true. Actually how I did the first one.
Deus Ex Machina.
Deus
Ex, just in general.
Mm-hmm. Technically a spy.
Yep. An augmented spy.
With that, yeah.
That is a good
the best kind
series.
Of spy. Still got to play.
Also his voice. Well, that's something we can play.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
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 And then I threw on here, last but not least, I guess, Team Fortress, obviously the spy. I kind of have him as like in my extras, like other notable spies mm-hmm. in media. But since we're talking video games, Team Fortress 2, obviously the spy, red spy, blue spy, and you can supply. I cannot talk today.
Me neither.
But obviously you infiltrate the other team and can kill off the team, be a team killer, basically. But you're doing it for the other team. Have I confused you sufficiently?
Nope, I know what you're talking about. I've never actually played Team Fortress.
I played a little of it when it's on the orange box. That's a long time ago.
It's still a thing that people play.
Yeah.
And they add new stuff to it all the time.
The voice of the spy just died recently, didn't he?
Really?
I think so.
That's sad.
The voice actor did. Last on here, I put Sniper Elite. Now, Sniper Elite, once again, this kind of goes under operative. Technically, he's working, I think, for the OSS, which was the precursor to the CIA. So you are effectively a spy. You're just a spy that kills a lot of people with rifles from a long distance.
I mean, that happens sometimes.
I mean, but you are infiltrating behind lines and trying to sabotage, German or Italian, wherever theater you're in, plans. So, yeah, I throw Sniper Elite on there. And I love the Sniper Elite games. They are very, very fun games. They can be very hard on the realism mode when you have to actually account for wind and bullet drop and everything. Like, it's a legit sniper game.
People don't realize.
Don't take for granted, yeah.
Yeah,
so Sniper Elite games are really fun. The first one's hard as crap, but the rest of them are pretty evenly balanced.
Yeah.
First one I remember having a lot of trouble with for some reason.
I think I played a little bit of it, but I was in the middle of doing something else at the time, so never actually played the game. I just kind of
futzed
around with it.
The two most recent ones, 3 and 4, were 4 had a really fun multiplayer, mm-hmm. but 3 really closed down the sandbox. I guess, I don't know if it's a sandbox or a bowl system, where basically, you have procedural level and you can go anywhere in it. It's more of like a bowl system, similar to what I guess like the recent Tomb Raider games, the Square Enix Tomb Raider games did.
Mm-hmm.
But the shots were a lot shorter in 3, and I didn't really like that. Like the farthest shot I think I could find anywhere was like 300 or 400 yards, and that's nothing.
For a sniper?
Yeah, nothing. So, but in 2, you could find some really long range shots to take, and that was always kind of fun to do.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's got all the graphics of, like, the X-ray shots. When you hit someone, it shows, like, what it's doing to the bones and organs. That's always...
I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
I've always been, like, kind of morbidly fascinated with that sort of thing.
And then you get, like, achievements if you get, like, the testicle shot and stuff like
that's
that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That should be awesome. An instant kill.
I think it still is. Yeah, it is an instant kill. Pretty much. I guess the person bleeds out. It puts them out of the fight, put it that way. They don't get up and shoot.
I can't imagine.
Moving on, I got a couple of TV shows here I'd bring up. Do you ever remember Alias?
Yes, I never watched it, though. I had a friend that was super into it.
I never got super into it, but I remember when it came out being like, what is this? This is cool. And mm-hmm. it was also Jennifer Garner's first thing I ever saw her in.
Yeah.
But I really liked it. I also have a thing about changing my hair color, as you do you. So, like, I always thought it was cool. I always thought it was cool that she always had, like,
a different wig.
The wig was, like, bright orange or bright blue or, like,
I remember seeing something on YouTube recently about, I think it was CIA, like, outfit spy master or whatever person, more or less, like, rating her
like
changes.
How good it is.
Yeah, and talking about how it's actually, some of the scenes are actually really realistic to what a spy would do.
Drawing attention away from something, a feature.
Disappearing between people and throwing a hat on or, you know, putting a jacket on or taking a jacket off or something like that while, what's the word I'm looking for? While, like, in a group of people, so you don't technically have a full perfect sight on a person or, like, out of the eye shot range of a camera or something. That's interesting. I've never watched those things, but the lady was like, this is technically what you'd want to do if you wanted to do this thing. And I'm like, that's very useful. Also, incredibly dangerous information on the internet.
Yeah, but it's true. That reminds me of one of those things I saw. That guy that gets, like, professionals to train him. Like, they give him an hour to train him in something, and then he has to fool an expert. And there was one where it was a CIA. They trained him how to blend in, and then he had... he had to be trailed by a guy and then disappear in a crowd, basically.
Yeah.
And how he did it was he went down into a subway. He had a backpack on.
Mm-hmm.
Went down into a subway, threw a wig on, put something under his shirt to make him look pregnant, and then, like, put, like, high heels and something else on and came back up the same stairs. So when he double-backed, it looked like he had just gone downstairs. The guy was waiting on him to come out the other side of it, and he doubled back and looked like a pregnant woman. And
smart.
Like, and then it fooled the guy. He was just like, yeah, I didn't even know.
So. Like, you're a very good spy. I wouldn't have thought about that.
That was a guy that got paid to trail people. And right. He lost the dude. I was like, man, pretty neat. I brought this one up just because I don't remember a whole lot about it anymore. I remember it being really good and got cut too short, but Dark Angel.
Never watched it.
So I think that came on Fox, and it was, I remember when I was younger, it was Jessica Alba's, like, big break, like, big solo break. She had been in movies and stuff before that, but she was always, like, bit parts, side characters, things like that. And that was her first, like, I think, big starring role.
Right.
And James Cameron actually directed it, which he didn't do a lot of TV.
Yeah.
And
yeah, because TV used to be beneath people. Now everybody wants to do TV because they realize it's a bigger paycheck, longer paycheck.
Yeah, than that one movie.
Yeah.
I mean, especially since, like, the Hollywood movies are, like, literally the 0.001%, like, of acting jobs and directing jobs.
Pretty much. Were you out in the sun recently?
Like, a week ago.
You've got a band of, like, pale.
I knew I was real red right here.
Yeah, no, you're just, like, around, if you were wearing glasses.
I had sunglasses on when I was out.
Sorry, that's fucking weird, but, like, the lighting is, like, pale, dark.
Yeah, that's fair.
You need to fix yourself, Dan. Clark.
Yeah. I looked at myself the next day and I was just like, man, I look baked here because I was like red, beet red, like on my nose and forehead. I was like, God.
Boy, I feel that. But I turned more white.
Yeah, I turned just super dark in my arms. And last on my TV list was Archer.
Yeah, Archer. I fucking love Archer.
So
I also think that Henry Cavill would be a perfect
live action Archer.
Yeah.
Ah, man, I just want. Like, I don't know how I would handle not having H. John Benjamin's voice, though.
I'm sure he could pull it off.
I find it so hilarious that he looks nothing like Archer.
I know.
At all.
I know. No, I feel like he
But all the other characters do look like they're voice actors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's hilarious.
Like, I want a live-action Archer. I think that'd be fucking hilarious.
You could almost put, like I said, everyone except H. John Benjamin as their casting.
Chuck. For TV.
Yeah.
I forgot about Chuck.
True. And Burn Notice also.
Yep. And Spy Kids.
I actually thought about that
Did
one.
Did you?
Yeah. And I thought about Kim Possible.
Yep. Kim Possible.
We're just rattling off stuff now.
Yeah. Now the thing is winding down.
These are all stuff I don't regularly watch, but I remember them.
Yeah.
Like, I think I tried to watch an episode or two of Burn Notice, and I have seen Chuck a couple of times.
Chuck was good. It's got a good cast.
Don't have a super comment on that because I can't remember a whole lot of people in it.
I can't... Something Levi something is the main guy.
He has two names. Levi?
No,
it's like Sirhan.
Yeah, pretty much. I can't remember if it's Levi, something, or if it's something Levi, Zachary Levi, Levy, something like that. Mm. I like him. He's pretty good. He would also make an entertaining Hal Jordan. And then, what's his name that was the buff dude in Serenity?
The buff dude?
Yeah.
Talking about the guy that played Jane?
Yeah.
Adam Baldwin?
Yeah, he's one of the people. Mm. And then Yvonne Strahovski's in it, too. You know, the girl that played Miranda. The face of Miranda.
I did not know
And
that.
The voice of Miranda.
Wow.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yep. She's Australian. Surprise. All the good ones are from Australia. Yeah,
pretty much. So funny. Have they just stuck?
They just, like, they implant them into actor. Like, they plant them and they grow them.
I just think it's funny that, like, you think about Australia being, like, a prison colony and everything like that, and it's like, I guess all of your, like, bad, rotten people were the most attractive and witty and intelligent people.
Really good at fooling people by being actors,
they just
I
stuck
guess.
Them on an island to breed.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And now they're all decent human beings.
They probably weren't that bad when they got sent there.
Probably not.
We used to hang horse thieves.
I mean, there are worse things that could happen. Could shoot someone's dick off.
Yeah. I can snipe early.
I feel like that should be, getting political here, that should be a rapist fucking punishment. And just cut it off.
Some have volunteered to be sterile. Like, that's like been a controversial thing when, like, certain pedophiles and stuff have actually, like, volunteered to be sterilized. And then there's, like, this, there's some kind of counter argument where literally the justice system's like, no, we can't do that. And they're like, why? Get rid of my testosterone, get rid of the sex drive. And they're like, no.
I mean, if you've actually committed a crime, I feel like you literally could just cut it off. Just leave a little hole.
little wee-wee hole.
Just a wee-wee hole. Just a wee-wee little hole.
Hopefully that's the grossest thing I ever say on this podcast.
It's not going to be.
I got little kind of like, that's gross.
You're like, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway. I mean, they do genital reconstruction, so it's not like they couldn't do that.
True.
You'd have to cut off their fingers, though, too. Which is fine by me.
Just you can't. And now all of a sudden the death penalty doesn't seem like that big a deal. When you're like, when you get done with this, you're going to be like, you're going to be armless and legless.
I mean, dickless. when you're that kind of
you got to take out their eyes so they won't keep looking at people.
Don't deserve a quality of life if you're gonna ruin someone else's. That's all I can say.
That's fair. I have that kind of spiteful vengeance streak too.
Yeah, there's a scorched earth policy. Fuck you.
So I put this one on here just for fun. This is actually toys. So from the world of toys, do you remember, actually you won't remember, but you may have heard of it, Spy Gear?
Mm-hmm.
I had so many of those toys growing up.
No, they were on television all the fucking time. They're like, you can become a real spy with this microphone and this projector thing.
It was like the directional mic.
Yeah.
I had the directional mic.
Actually work?
Yeah, it worked.
Wow.
It had like a little earbud you put in and then it was a real directional mic.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was I had the sunglasses that had mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
They were like bifocal glasses, but this way, like, and there's mirror from like the outer
so you
third.
Can see the corner.
And so you could see people falling behind you. I had those. I'm trying to remember all this. I had a fingerprint.
There was
kit
a
and everything.
Pen thing too.
I don't know if I had a pen. I'm going to actually look up Spy Gear real quick and see what comes up, because I'll remember which toys I had. I wish I could still had those. I know they've probably gotten thrown away. But man, those were fun. I really liked those at the time.
Yeah, it was really interesting, like, marketing. Because kids really wanted to be spies.
So they did make them all the way up through the 2000s. I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I can remember television commercials about them and be like, oh my God, I want that. I think actually that my brother and I got some. And like the neighborhood kids had other pieces of it. And like we would use it to spy on the adults in the neighborhood. Because we were weird like that. Never saw anything interesting that I can remember. But we all know that my memory is shit.
So there was also something called Spy Tech. I don't know if this is what I had or not. Let's look at the images here. Yeah, Yeah, I remember the walkie-talkie. There's the glasses. Oh, the glasses were so much fun.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm losing it now on the Google images. I'll have to look at some more of those later just to take a trip down memory lane. That was so much fun, though. But I thought it would be fun to put that on there because it's a nostalgia from my childhood for spy stuff.
For sure.
Actually, I won't close that down yet in case we need it. So also, I just wrote kind of a list of extra spies in media. Is there anything you wanted to bring up as far as games or TV or movies?
Not that I can think of. Not that we have.
Yeah. Well, here's some other spies that just kind of stuck out to me that I thought we could talk about a little. And I know there's a bunch more. These are just ones that popped in my mind when I was thinking about it. So I already mentioned Mystique earlier and like Morph from X-Men. I also thought about Resident Evil, Ada Wong.
Oh, yeah.
She is a like
certified
pretty awesome. Yeah, she's definitely a spy.
Yeah.
And she's an awesome character. And I like all. And you made a you had a tweet earlier about Leon Kennedy, which was really weird. I had no clue what it meant. But I thought it was funny because I'd just been thinking about Ada Wong, and then you tweeted about Leon Kennedy, and I'm like, what the fuck? Did I, like, send a message? Like
transition. I was playing Final Fantasy with my friend, and we were talking about, I don't remember what it was, how we got on the subject, but we were talking about how Leon Kennedy was a police officer for one whole ass day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I won't get political with it, but the stuff that's going on,
yeah, I got
that
you.
Acronym, that's what it was. I laughed my ass off. He was like, no, this isn't the occupation for me. Oh, we were talking about our favorite Resident Evil characters and stuff like that. And I was like, I've only really ever played the fifth game, but I do really like Leon just in general. And I was like, but isn't he the fuck off that shot himself in the foot and avoided, like, some big thing that happened, and she was laughing, and that's
pretty
how
funny.
That, yeah.
He was only an officer for one day.
Yeah. I was like, wow, that's amazing.
Also mentioned Liliana from Dragon Age.
Yeah.
Surprised you didn't want to bring that one up.
I forgot about Dragon Age. We were too busy talking about Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a spy master in Inquisition.
Exactly.
She's got crows. Ravens, I
something
think they're
like
crows,
that.
Though.
Oh, that brings me. That just reminded me of one right there. Game of Thrones. So, Varys.
Fucking Loki.
Yeah, I guess
also, the man of many faces.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jack and Hagar.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was trying to remember his name yesterday.
Yeah, spy
yesterday
assassin.
For some reason. Oh, because in Final Fantasy XIV, I've been playing a lot. There's a quest that you end up doing for one of the things, and you talk to this girl, and one of the things that you can ask is, does a girl have a name? And her name is Arya. And I was like, I see you. I recognize you. She doesn't look like Arya, though, so.
Where do you think the Dark Brotherhood falls from Elder Scrolls?
Oh.
I mean, they're straight assassins, but.
I guess technically spy, because for a few of the missions that you...
It kind of blends with the Thieves Guild, too.
Yeah.
The Nightingales or whatever. The Nightingales are more spies, I think, than the Dark Brotherhood.
What about Fable? Isn't there a guild of...
There is some kind of Thieves Guild.
Not spy guild,
don't...
but I guess it would be Thieves, yeah.
I don't remember. I flew
it's been
through...
a hot minute
yeah,
since
I flew
played.
Through all the Fable games.
Yeah.
I don't remember crap, except the Demon Doors. Whenever they'd wake up and be like, oh.
Yeah.
I used to make that noise all the time just to
annoy people.
Yeah.
What else? There are so many. I don't know. Most games have like that moment where you have to do some sort of sneaking and spying, like mission quest thing.
Yeah, stealth is a huge. I mean, The Last of Us is an entire stealth game.
I never played The Last of Us.
I haven't played the second one yet, but
I've heard good and bad things about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard the same. I've heard people have been like, hey, it's artistic masterpiece. And then I heard other people say, and I don't want to give away any spoilers why.
It's the characters.
Yeah, and it...
And the ending.
I don't know about the ending. But they kind of pull a Metal Gear on you a little bit. They do an old switcheroo.
Yeah.
You don't end up playing as the character you think you're going to play as. For
yeah.
More of the game than you think.
Yeah.
So
yep.
That's the best I can really say on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, having said that, I mean, I'm going to play it, but I just...
Yeah, I mean, you form your own opinions, but it's definitely one of those things that a lot of people are like, and a lot of the people that I follow on Twitter are very much like, again, the queer community, and a bunch of them are really pissed off about things and stuff, and it's like, can't please everyone.
Yeah, the reason I haven't got it yet, honestly, is because there was another game that was supposed to come out last Friday and didn't, because it got pushed back a month.
What is it?
The Fairy Tail RPG.
You fucking nerd.
I knew you'd laugh at that.
Have you played the Seven Deadly Sins mobile game?
No.
Apparently, it's really fucking good for mobile game.
Wow. I'll have to check it out. There's not a whole... There's actually a few good... When we do our anime episode... There's a few anime games that I've enjoyed, and there's some that are just
like My issue with anime games is they tend to be like fighter based, and they don't do much more than, I don't know, it doesn't add anything to the story.
Yeah.
And so you like could Jump Force. Slap any sort of generic anything on it, but the reason that it's got like Naruto and Dragon Ball Z, for instance, those tournament style things, it's like, yeah, this is fun, but it's not $60 worth of fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, Sword Art Online, that game, I don't want to get off too much of a tangent on these. I really enjoyed the game at first, and then I realized how much of a slog it is. It is a lot. Like, it's like, it wants to take your life away from you. Like,
yeah.
I got to a point where I was in it, and I realized I was like a level 64 or something. I was like, I might as well be living in the real world of Sword Art Online if I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to play this game. Like, they might as well just make the real thing, because this is taking up my life and it's way too much time.
I'm surprised that that hasn't become a thing yet, but I guess like the Oculus and all that stuff haven't really been.
Yeah. And there are some test rooms, I guess you can say, yeah, that they are doing, where it is multiple people all hooked up in a room together. They have like a dance club one and stuff where people can just kind of, but it hasn't, you know.
Most of them are just giant clusterfucks, though, yeah, of people being stupid.
Pretty much.
Like 12-year-olds screeching because they think that it's cool to screech. I don't like kids.
I don't. Moral of the story, I don't like kids.
What about your...
I was about to say, if you thought you were getting out of this without a Transformers reference, there are Transformer spies.
I was going to say, I know that there has to be.
So, first off, the most... probably most common popular one is going to be Bumblebee. So Bumblebee is obviously Autobot intelligence.
Clearly the best spy ever in his bright fucking yellow. Yeah, his
bright yellow.
Enable to speak.
I mean, that's in several continuities, but it's not a general thing that Bumblebee can't talk. Mm-hmm. I think it's popular because Michael Bay made it popular, and they got it from Transformers Prime. I don't remember where he got it from, where Bumblebee can't speak at first and has to get his voice back. Either way.
I don't know. In Transformers Prime, he doesn't have his voice, and Ratchet very frequently is very guilty about that, but they don't actually go into how that happened.
It was Prime he got it from then.
Maybe.
But yeah, probably the most well-known one. He is, like, his function is reconnaissance. His superpower is his vision, his visual acuity. There are other spies, though. A more direct spy would be Mirage. He is an Autobot, sometimes Decepticon, sometimes don't know. He's kind of a fun one because he's...
So he is a spy. He's playing both sides.
Well, he's not playing both sides like another character. There's another character I'm going to mention in a second who is legit playing both sides. Mm-hmm. Mirage, though, is an Autobot, but he's like an unwilling Autobot. Like, they kind of recruited him and took him to Earth on the Ark and everything, and he's there, and he doesn't want to be part of the war, but because he has... the skill to basically, he has like active camo, essentially. That's why he's called Mirage.
I mean, makes sense.
He's the easiest one to get behind enemy lines and get intelligence. And so he's basically Optimus Prime forced him to come with him. Uh-huh. And he doesn't really care. But there are some continuities where he goes Decepticon because he gets treated better.
That's unusual.
Yeah.
Decepticons with their cookies or cake or whatever.
You can say whatever you want about Megatron being a hard ass and stuff, but one thing he does in every continuity of Megatron is he appreciates his soldiers' gifts, what they can do for him.
Yeah.
So the ones
I mean, if you think that that's decent of him as a leader.
The ones that...
Just because that's how you are toward people doesn't mean...
Put it this way, unlike a lot of the cannon fodder that he throws out there, the ones that have like the special talents, he treats in his higher inner circle.
Decently enough.
Yeah, it's his inner circle of trusted people, and he doesn't trust many people.
True.
So you can say, like I said, if you have the right gift, you can climb your way to the top there.
Be his bitch.
Other ones, we got some Decepticons. Obviously, Soundwave, since his entire thing is reconnaissance and intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
He uses, obviously, his minions. So you have Ravage and Laserbeak. Laserbeak literally flies out and spies all the time in G1 continuity and IDW. Ravage does the same thing. So he's got his spies everywhere. I put Nightbeat on here, but Nightbeat is actually more of a private investigator. He's like the gruff PI kind of thing. So he's more of the detective than he is a spy.
Right.
But he's got that like seedy underbelly going through the city kind of thing going on. I just want to throw him in there. Now the probably lesser known, but easily the absolute definition of a spy, not just reconnaissance or intelligence, but an actual saboteur spy that is in Transformers universe is a bot called Punch/Counterpunch.
Never heard of him.
A lot of people haven't. He's actually in that Transformers 84 comic. He's a big part of that one right there, actually. The prequel thing.
Nerd.
Yeah. So Punch and Counterpunch are the same robot with two names. And the reason being is he is, as Punch, he's an Autobot. And his alt mode, instead of turning into a vehicle, is he turns into another robot named Counterpunch, who's a Decepticon.
Is he one of the ones that was fucked up by the Wreckers? Is that what it is?
No, I don't think there's any continuity where he's with the Wreckers.
I don't know. I haven't read anything. But I was just wondering if he had one of those.
The Twin Sparks or whatever?
I don't know.
It'd be one in one robot. I don't know how it is. Apparently how it is he's, like I said, he's one robot who... He doesn't crack under pressure. When he's in his Decepticon mode, he like is convincing enough to where the Decepticons fully believe he's 100% Decepticon, and he like wipes his memory bank so much so that he forgets he's an Autobot. Like he won't.
What a mood!
He basically won't squeal, like, because he doesn't. When he turns into the Counterpunch, he has no information to give up if he's interrogated.
Yeah,
he forgets his Autobot memories, turns back into the Autobot, and then immediately he's like, "Oh, I gotta go report back to Prime." And so he remembers his Decepticon stuff he does, but he doesn't remember his Autobot stuff, so he's the perfect double agent.
How does he remember to turn back into
I don't know.
An Autobot?
That's one of the weird...
Is he a sleeper agent?
I guess so. He's Manchurian Candidate there. And maybe there's a code word to transform him.
Maybe.
I haven't read that many comics involved with him, but and he's in a couple episodes of G1 where they show him off doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's one of the most interesting written characters is
it is pretty interesting in that
universe.
Particular universe.
So yeah, I thought I'd bring him up. But that's about it I've got for my list of spy stuff. Anything else you coming to mind you want to bring up?
I've got a couple of books. Technically, Red Rising could be spy espionage saboteur.
It's definitely infiltration.
Yeah. Have you read more of that?
Yeah. I've gotten a decent ways through the first book.
Good. It gets real good. I think it's actually really kind of interesting, again, with the climate of the world right now. I read it just before things literally, like, I'm not completely done with the series yet. I've got one book and then the other one's going to come out at some point. But it's good. It's interesting. And the other one I just finished a couple weeks ago is Steelheart, which is the... incidentally, very much like My Hero Academia and The Boys, where you have these superhuman people based off of, you know, something called the Calamity happened. These people acquire powers, and most of them are not good people. Most of them are bad, and there's actually a reason for it that they explain in, like, the second or third book. That I haven't quite figured out yet, but basically by using powers, they get corrupted and they turn into bad people. And the series is called The Reckoners because the Reckoners are these normal human beings that are going after the superhuman people to get rid of them because they've pretty much turned the world into this dystopian, like, not easy to live in place since Calamity. And by doing that, they're basically... spy, you know, inserting themselves into things, sabotage, all that fun stuff. It's also a really good book by Brandon Sanderson. You should read it.
Nice. That author sounds familiar.
He's written a lot of things. He's written a lot. the Mistborn series, I think, is one of his best known.
I'm trying to remember. I want to say I've read something by him, but that sounds so familiar.
You probably have. He's got a lot of series, but he's got a lot of really good, just good stories. And it's all over the spectrum as far as, like, setting and stuff like that.
Anything else?
Probably, but not that I can think of right now.
So where can you find us? Everywhere.
You can find us on the internet.
That's true.
That is true. You go to twitter.com and search up Hello Tangent Pod. Or is it Hello Tangent Podcast?
It's just Hello Tangent. You can search.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
You can find us on Instagram at Hello Tangent Pod. Can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Dual Omniblade or Dual Omniblades. And you can find Clark
at Rev Snakebite.
Well, you remembered it.
I did.
You managed to do it.
I occasionally say funny things.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
Occasionally. I need to get on it more often.
We do need to interact more often, which means that we need people to interact with more often.
We need some. I'm going to start gathering some questions and stuff to do a fun Q&A.
That'd be fun. I do want to do, like, streaming stuff. I know I've talked about it before, but that is something that I'd like to do is just getting on. I would like to do, like, a Gears of War thing. Mm-hmm. Obviously not all of the games at once, but, like, go through the games a few nights a week or something like that when we have times that match up. Because that's pretty rare for us right now.
That's rough going.
But we'd be the Steam Stream Dream Team because it's steamy outside. Okay. And also, it's fucking hard to say. I enjoy it.
Down for it.
But yeah, that's about it. You can find us at Patreon. I think we've got a Facebook page that we are chipping away at trying to put together.
I have been working on it.
And I have not looked at it. But
fair enough.
Clark has been paying attention to it, giving it some love. Eventually we'll get our YouTube going. We'll do some streams. We'll keep podcasting. And, you know, we enjoy interactions. We actually do enjoy talking to people and getting your opinions. It is quite pleasant to hear what people think. And
yeah.
We would
let us know your favorite spies.
Yeah.
And media.
Please, please do.
Let us know all the ones we forgot.
There's a whole hell of a lot.
All right. Is that it?
That's it.
Well, we're signing off then. Have a good one, everyone.
Take it easy.
And bye.
Bye.